This episode of the Steve Diss Island Podcast is brought to you by Black Mamba NYSO Trade. Hit it!
The Black Mamba day trading platform by NYSO Trade is here.
Heard of the platform that told you to swim?
Well, tell them to drown.
The Black Mamba is the most advanced day trading platform on planet Earth. Execute your trading with lightning speed and get your price. It's time to tell them other platforms to take a hike. The Black Mamba trading platform is here. Go to NYSOTrade.com. That's NYSOTrade.com. The time to strike is now. The Black Mamba by NYSO Trade.
XM Radio.
The Black Mamba by NYSO Trade. Yeah, the Black Mamba. The Black Mamba day trading platform is the most advanced day trading platform on planet Earth. So check them out at NYSOTrade.com. That's NYSOTrade.com. And for all my Spanish-speaking people, listen up. I don't have a cool MP3 like that, but listen up. Escucha, mi gente, este episodio de Steve Diss Island Podcast ha sido traído a ustedes por Black Mamba NYSO Trade. Black Mamba NYSO Trade es un website que te ayuda mucho con el comercio si tienes algún tipo de problema con algunos préstamos o cualquier tipo de servicio en el mundo de los negocios. Black Mamba NYSO Trade te puede ayudar. Así que ve a NYSOTrade.com, es NYSOTrade.com. Y si no sabe deletrear trade, trade es TRADE.com. NYSOTrade.com. All right, guys, you guys are ready to get this podcast started? I am so freaking ready. Let's go.
You are now listening to the Steve Diss Island Podcast. Get ready for some tropical conversations and some refreshing guests. Now, here's Steve Diss.
Hey, what's going on, people? Steve Diss in the freaking building. Yeah, it's me, Steve Diss, with a brand new Steve Diss Island Podcast. The podcast I bring my most amazing, talented, hilarious, and famous friends from all over the world. They're from all over the world, but they come... They each have one thing in common. That's they come here to Hollywood because this is where the big stars play, you know. This is the big leagues. There's nothing bigger than this. And that's why today's guest is not only just a hilarious, hilarious comedian, but he is also an amazing writer and a good, great friend. He is the one, the only, Kyle Henson!
What up? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. What's up? Long time no see, man.
Yeah, last time was quite the adventure.
It was a crazy adventure. You got to see a side of me not a lot of people get to see.
Rare form.
Because I don't tend to drink that much lately.
It was, we're out there at the comedy spot, and I had some friends from Portland, and we all ended up going out for drinks afterwards. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had, it was a karaoke party. And it wasn't really a party, but we turned it into a party.
Like, the whole back area was like a Nelly video. Like,
did you ever got to talk to that host girl again?
Oh, I never kiss and tell.
Okay. We know that. I think she, did she give me her number? I don't know. I think she gave me her number.
Yeah, I mean, that very well may be. Did you call her after that? Because...
No, I think I sent her a picture, but she didn't respond back.
Yeah, that happens a lot in L.A. You
know? So I said, fuck it. I'm like, I'm not going to hit this bitch up. Fuck that shit. So how's it going, man? You moved from Portland.
I did about 14 months ago.
And now you're in L.A.
I love it.
How you love it?
Well, it's good. Now I'm here. I'm staying in Hollywood. Cool. And trying to figure out where I actually want to be for like the next 5 years physically, you know, not like where I want to be career wise. So that's, you know, the sky's the limit. But
yeah,
you know, what actual 902 ones, whatever. It's got to have one of those 9000, whatever.
So you've been 14 months living in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're still there because right. I got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I see.
That's where I moved originally when I came here, but I lasted there probably like 6 months and I left. I'm like, I cannot live in Hollywood.
Right. For those of you guys who don't know, you can see the skyscrapers from his balcony. So it's kind of cool. Like, But, like, I don't know. There's no, I can see the skyscrapers, but they're far away. So you come down here and it's like, oh, well, he's living in the city.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel, I feel like better in between. And I like to be more in a secluded, quiet place.
Right.
I mean, it's a, it gets a little outrageous over here in downtown, but, but it's not as outrageous as in Hollywood. Like, in Hollywood, literally, when I lived, every single night was just people roaming the streets. No matter if it's Halloween or not, they still will be dressed up. They don't give a fuck over there.
It's tough to tell who's ever someone who's, like, just trying to get money for pictures or if they're genuinely dressed up that weird.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. So what other areas have you seen that you like?
Just it all depends on the drive. You know, if I would want to drive all the way from a place that's really cool, like Malibu or even some parts of northern Orange County, like that would be cool. But realistically, probably not the valley. It just gets too hot during the summer. And I can get warmer by putting on, you know, warm clothes. I can't get colder, you know, by taking off all of mine. So, that or like West Hollywood's really cool, just as far as it just being
shout
like,
out to the gays.
Yeah. What? it's a nice area. Like everything's clean there. It's affluent. You know, people are driving Bentleys, and I figure like you know, put yourself around good people, you will also you know become good in yourself.
Hell yeah, man.
Make that's money.
So about that, man. You gotta pay it forward. Be nice to people. You don't know, man.
Right.
The person cleaning your table could be the next Morgan Freeman. He might be white too, but right. He could be the next Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, yeah. Every time, you know, I just choose not to be mean to people. I don't know, and it's so much easier. Like, not as far as like what it gets you, but just direct. Like, say someone's mean, you kill them with kindness. They'd be like, oh, okay. Mm.
And so far, what's your favorite comedy club out here?
That's a tough one. I like really like Ice House.
Oh my god, I love the Ice House.
You know, but other comedy clubs have allowed me to hang out more. You know what I mean? So like, if I were to hang out at the store or something like that, that would be really. You know, I'd have to put that on my list. I haven't gotten up much there, but it's a fun place to just be. I really like Flappers, where we've hung out. Mm-hmm. They are cool about calling you and being professional and like booking you and like. They're a good area, so.
Yeah. My favorite has to be so far, because, again, like, I'm sort of getting my feet wet into stand-up again over here. I've done a lot of East Coast, but I'm getting my feet wet over here. It's so far the Ice House, I would say, is my favorite one. Because I honestly thought it was going to be the Laugh Factory.
Right.
Because I thought the vibe you get from the Ice House was the exact vibe you get in the Laugh Factory.
Right.
But it's not quite like that. Because I was hearing Chris D'Elia today, and he described it so well. He said the Laugh Factory is a place that is more designed for the audience than the comedian. Like, right. No matter what, if you walk in the Laugh Factory, you're in a good mood. You know, but it's more designed for it's like a spectacle for the audience. Like it looks good and great over there. But the Ice House feels like it's a mutual thing. Like you feel great as a comic performing there and the audience feels so great. No matter,
right.
Like honestly, even if you bomb at the Ice House, it feels still, good.
They're still like, hey man, you're doing like, hey, I saw some promise in that. They offer you a tag. You're like, all right. Yeah, like I definitely like that. Having the Ice House be a place where you just feel accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, like, older comedians will watch you. Like, it's one place where it's not as acceptable to just go hang out some other place. You know what I mean? Unless they do their podcast there and stuff like that. But, you know, other places, you know, I'm not going to name names, but comics just won't watch you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want that. I want to be noticed.
You want to be noticed. We all want to be noticed. That's why we're here. Because we need it.
Watch me.
Watch me. And what motivated you to become a stand-up comedian? Like, that? What was the thing in your childhood that made you say, hey, I can do that?
I never thought that I could do it until probably about a day before I did it. Or never even thought that I would do it.
Did you do it as a dare, or you just did it because I can probably do it?
It's anticlimactic when I tell the story. It's I got laid off by AT&T after taking a vacation and blowing all my money.
Hmm.
And so I come back, and they were like, you know, you don't have a position with our company anymore. We're going to need everything back from you. And I was like, oh. So I sat around for like a month and smoked weed and played video games. And then I thought of some joke, and it was, the joke was just too messed up to tell. Like, and I would always post stuff online. Like, that was my thing. Like, I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to upload this. And I didn't want to because then I'd be attached to my name. People are like, come on, that's a little out of taste. Like, it was about something that just happened. Somebody just died.
Mm.
And so I went and told it to some strangers on a stage. And then, yeah, sometime later, here I am living in Los Angeles, California. It's not like, and then there's a lot in between there. Like, I'd always listen to my sets. And I remember, like, no one wants to bomb. And I did one time. One time ever. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I did one time in Portland, and it just broke me down, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, we're sitting out in my car, and I was like, what am I doing?
Did you bomb, like, quiet bomb, or did you bomb, like, you got booed off stage?
Quiet. I think I'd rather be booed. At least if I got booed, I don't know, like, that would be some kind of response. Everyone's just like, ugh. It was one of my heavy hitter jokes too. One that I thought that was just like, and it was at the open mic at Helium Comedy Club, which is like the spot.
Yeah, the spot.
And everyone, all the comedians always watch. They always listen. Like everyone, there's probably like 90 people in the room, and like I'd been doing it for like 3 months at the time. But you get on the open mic, they kind of give you the nudge, you know, because like 50, 60 people are trying to get on that mic, and yeah, so I bombed. But since then, I don't worry about it. It's actually, I figured out if you have more fun doing it yourself, it's not, I'm not doing stand-up comedy for the audience. I don't care.
You don't care about the audience? No. Fuck the audience. Fuck them. This is not for you. It's for me.
The listeners to this podcast, though, we absolutely love you guys. You guys are doing a great
job. We don't do it for
job.
You guys. Fuck you guys. We do it for ourselves.
But think about it. Like, I don't know, like, if nobody liked me, I probably wouldn't do it. I'm a self-centered, you know, person. You know, everybody.
I mean, nobody would do it if no.
Right. Really every time you go off the stage, you're just like, yeesh, dude, you got to think about doing something else. Like, that's the reason why I'm into it. When I think about like, how is this gonna help me, or how am I gonna write this joke better? How am I? It's not like, no, it's just the byproduct is them laughing. Like, it's not why we make the food. It's not why we paint the painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I definitely do it for the audience for at least a little bit, because yeah. I want you guys to have a good time, and I'm trying my best up here to make you have a good time, whether it's me dropping my entire material and just doing crowd work the entire right. time, or whether it is whatever it is. I always try to have at least good time in that room, you know?
Right.
Because at the end, for me, I'm not a person that I mean, I'm trying to do it more now, but I didn't used to go back to my jokes that much and like build on top of it and top of it. Like, I would just do my joke. If it doesn't work, I just drop it for a little bit and then come back at it like later in time.
Right.
But now my biggest issue is just to make you laugh as much as I can at that moment.
Right.
So I just try to have the best time I can. Because if you're having a good time, I'm having a good time. No matter what. Whether it's I made you laugh with material I like fucking wrote and, you know, I was writing for a long time.
Right.
Or whether it was something that just came along. Mm-hmm. And it's not part of my set or anything, but just came along.
Right.
I just want you to laugh at the end. At least that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
When I'm doing all that, all there, all there.
But do you ever feel like sometimes people want to know what you think is funny, as opposed to like making them laugh about stuff they already know is funny? Or do you think that like there's a perfect balance?
You know, I feel. I mean, at the end, what you want, I think every stand-up comedian wants, is that they laugh at what you find funny, because right. that's what they pay to see. For me, it's more like I would prefer doing that. I would prefer doing material all the time and you're laughing at my material and not just because I'm fucking ripping this guy off because he's being an asshole in front of the stage.
It happens.
It happens. But sometimes you got to do it. And sometimes those are my biggest laughs.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, like I remember my last show that I did at Flappers, that particular room, the Yoo-Hoo room. I was trying out new material and it was going okay. I was seeing the bumps, the things that I was like missing,
right,
and all that. But then this fucking dude was fucking drunk right in front of me. He was just like, the thing is, he wasn't being rude or mean or anything. He was just doing misplaced laughs.
Right.
You know, like when I'm doing my setup, he's laughing already. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. And he's like kind of interrupting.
And you have to acknowledge it.
And I have to acknowledge it at some point. And the point I even mention it, the crowd went nuts. Because they all in the back of their heads were like, this asshole is fucking laughing like at moments that he's not supposed to laugh.
Right.
Like somebody has to address this guy.
Right.
Because the rest of the comics were just trying their material. But I'm a guy that if I have to drop it, I fucking drop it.
Sure.
Because this is my show. And I don't care if I have 2 minutes and the 2 minutes are just ripping on this guy. Or whatever. And he was a cool dude. You know, afterwards, he kind of felt bad.
Right.
I was like, dude, it was all fun, but, you know, that's so you know. Like, it's a comedy show. You got to shut the fuck up. And the dude was like, okay. He was drunk.
Right.
Because they told me even before the show, they're like, this dude is fucked up. He had, like, 12 shots of vodka and a Jaeger and some other shit. So I already knew this dude was bad news from before the show started. But sometimes you got to do it, man.
That's funny, like, you kind of blame the club. Like, who gave this guy 9 drinks? And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's how they afford it.
They make money.
Yeah.
That's why I'm
here. Yeah.
Two drink minimum.
I heard a good one the other day. It was like, I tell jokes to people who pay 2 items. It's like, we sell stuff.
The other day I was at the Heist house, and I even forgot that etiquette of the whole 2 drink minimum thing.
Right.
And I'm seeing like Joe Rogan and friends. So it's like Sam Tripoli, Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, Brian Callen, like a fucking amazing lineup.
Right.
And I'm there and watching the show and I'm like, oh, let me get, I don't know what, Stella Adler. Stella, fucking sell a drink. And I said, oh, and give me some French fries or something.
Right.
And they were like, okay, and for your second drink? And I'm like, oh, I said the fries and the drink. Right. So I thought it was 2 items, but it's 2 drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, give me another Stella. Fuck it.
And they bring them to you both at the same time.
Yeah.
What's with that?
Like, what the fuck? One's already warm.
You're like, no, look,
I'm done with the other one.
I felt like I grabbed some beers here on the way, and I don't feel bad, but I got 2 tall boys. And by the end, you know, they're not going to be as cold as when you first opened them. But that's okay. Life goes on.
Yeah, at least it's not 40. A 40 will go warm quick.
They were 2 for $5 there, so I thought about it for a second.
Have you done the Edward 40 hands thing?
Yeah, back in the day. We did Pint Miss Christmas.
Oh, really?
And so, no, it was a fifth miss or something like that. But then we ended up just using pints. And if you drink 2 pints, it's just like, oh, and like.
I can't do that, man. I'm probably when I'm halfway through this beer, and probably when I'm done with it, I'm probably gonna have to go and pee twice. That's what happens with beer, man. I drink a lot of beer and I pee like a horse.
There's always like, is it out yet? And there's like, there's more like right underneath. Should I just stay in here? We reduce to pee talk.
Pee talk.
Let's make a song.
What do you think of R. Kelly? See the same way?
Yeah. Mark R. Kelly's he's a genius as far as his music
capabilities. As far as peeing on girls.
I don't know. I wasn't there, but I gotta say he's one of the first artists that made me appreciate R&B. He's like, I don't see nothing. Back in the day, like
he still got it. He just looks like a crackhead now. Have you seen him lately?
No, I haven't.
Like he's super skinny. Right now, I saw him on Saturday Night Live. He did like a surprise appearance when Lady Gaga was hosting.
Right.
Because they have a song now called Do What You Want With My Body, something like that. Do What You Want With My Body, girl, whatever. And they like simulate sex on stage. It gets crazy. But that dude looks like
Something happened.
Like he's definitely shooting up those nostrils and those veins. And just getting skinnier and skinnier.
Have you ever heard of Music Soul Child?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my new favorite one is Gary Clark Jr. He's like Jimi Hendrix mixed with Prince.
Really?
Yeah, Gary Clark Jr. He plays the guitar and he sings in like a real high pitched like type deal, but then he just goes off on these crazy solos, and I was walking from one band to another, like Swedish House to ASAP Rocky or something, and I just hear this like, and I was like, what's going on over there? I walk over, and this like Lil Wayne kind of looking dude is just up there going ape on a guitar, and I sat there for like 45 minutes and watched until he was finished. It's like, even just having these super songs. So I actually bought his album.
You're a really patient person. I wouldn't be standing there for 45 minutes. I would be like, damn, that's cool. Walk away.
Let's go see some other stuff. It's like you were saying, like you've been to EDC, and it's, you hear about three or four great things going on at once, and you're like, you cannot physically be at both of them, you know, but they're all playing at this one venue, you know, at EDC. You might find like,
there's a lot going on at EDC, dude. Like, if you go to EDC, you really have to have your mind clear of what you're going to do, because the amount of shit you see in EDC, it's insane. Like, you can either be one of those guys, like, on the lookout for those girls that are just having a bad trip.
Right.
And be like, hey, I'm staying at this hotel. Yeah, let's go. Or you can be like, dude, Infected Mushroom is at this stage. Oh, my God. Deadmau5 is over here. Man, Skrillex is playing. Let's go and check it out, man.
Right. Dropping unreleased tracks and stuff, like.
One of those, or you can be one of those also that like brings items and starts selling them right there. Like, hey, I got the official t-shirts, $5, make a lot of profit.
Ecstasy.
There's tons of things, man, to do at EDC. It's just a big playing field of just people going insane.
What a lot of people don't know is it's not actually in Las Vegas. It's like close.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a $60-$70 cab ride. And they make people pay before you go. So like,
and it's extremely expensive. It's super expensive.
Like, how much are tickets?
Well, I did a package. So the package was about like $650, I would say.
I'm not hating. I mean, you had a blast.
But you know, if you had that type of money to blow, I say fucking do it, dude. You only live once.
Just, well, the type of money that is in Vegas totally makes sense that stuff would be that expensive. Like, it's at a certain point, I think they're just putting together numbers. You know, they're like, well, you know, this is another digit that I'm going to add to my bank account.
But think about it. Per person. The amount of money they're making is outrageous.
Right. There's, what, like 50,000 people that go there or something like that?
It just gets bigger and bigger every year. It's insane. And it went from a culture that it wasn't known at all. Because honestly, I never got introduced into like the whole electronic house. Well, house a little bit, but like electronic, whole dubstep, all that until I met my girlfriend. Because she was really into that. She was like, yeah, this new thing, dubstep or whatever.
Right.
I'm like, there's nothing cool about wow, 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 and jump, jump, jump. Like, I don't. And then after, you know, she's saying it over and over again, then I got into it. And then it became so fucking mainstream. They're making movies out of that shit.
Yeah, right when you start seeing commercials go on, you know, it's like, buy this new Windows, blah, 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 everything, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, every other commercial was like a Skrillex song, like, yeah. Going, wah, wah,
how
wah,
much
wah,
money
wah,
did he make? Just buku.
Insane. Is he still with Ellie Goulding? I heard they were, like, going out together and shit.
Oh, man, that would...
I thought he was gay.
Yeah, might be. I don't, you know, at that point, you could.
Ellie's fine, though.
You just do whatever you want, you know?
She can sing. You know Ellie, right?
Uh-uh.
All the lights.
Wait, how's that go? No, the latest thing I've been, and I know I just saw you pull this up, is Spotify. Stuff's amazing.
Oh, my God, yeah. I pay for it, though.
Yeah. Well, it's good, though. Like, we have an account, and you can just look up anything ever.
Yeah, that's why I even got it. That's why I pay for it. Because, like, I literally can think of it. I'm a person that when I'm watching a movie,
right,
I can get distracted by the song. I'm like, what's the fucking song? Right. I don't pop out the Shazam like other people out here. But I just, like, I'm like, what's the name of that song? So I go back home and I go to Wikipedia or something and look up the movie, try to look for the soundtrack. And then when I find it, then I go to my Spotify and I get the song instantly like that. Boom.
What if right before the Napster craze? You release something like that. Yeah, they would just, like, oh, how do you spell your name? Oh, okay, okay. And how many digits do you want on this check? You know, you're like, so I don't know. That would be, I always think of what if, like, because during our lifetime, some crazy stuff has happened.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, what if we were the ones to think about it? And, like, what's next? Like, because it's always something simple, like some program or.
It's insane. Like, at first, it was, like, the whole domain thing. Like, a lot of people were becoming multimillionaires because they own Google first or they own Yahoo right. first. And other, the companies were actually buying out, you know, doing a buyout for the domain. Then it became the whole app thing. Like, if you develop an app, a really successful app, like Twitter, Vine, Facebook, whatever it right. was, you became super multimillionaire. Like, what's going right. to be the next plateau?
Gosh, I think my buddy just started up a salad company. I mean, that might be. They really did start a salad company, but nonetheless.
They're starting to sell, like, apparently now the phones are going to be wristwatches.
Right.
That's the new thing now.
They're close. They have that. Have you seen the, like, the flat?
They already have a commercial with, like, LeBron James and Kevin Hart that they got, like, the new Verizon wristwatch and, like, you talk through the phone or something. Like, yeah, I guess it's a speakerphone or something, your wristwatch now.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine everyone just walking around like watches are cool again? It went from being able to tell the time on your watch to your phone.
That's the thing. I don't know what they're going with because it's either that or the whole glasses thing. Because I auditioned for a commercial, and I can talk about it because I didn't book it, so fuck it. So
Do it.
I auditioned for, like, Verizon, right? Right. And it was They were pushing for that commercial that I auditioned. It was the whole, like, now you can talk and do all that shit with, like, the glasses.
Right.
So that's coming out, too.
Damn. Can you imagine people are just going to be zoning?
They're going to be cyborgs. Everybody is just going.
I have a call coming in. Imagine we're doing the podcast.
The fifth right element.
Now, and they can't even tell if, like, you're paying attention or not. I could just be like.
I could be watching porn at this time. Oh, what'd you say?
Yeah, because you're not.
I was in bankbros.com.
Yeah, because the other person can't tell from the outside, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. No, they can't.
That's wild. Oh, my God. There's going to be so many weirdos out there just like.
It's going to be an insane world.
But get this. You can't even argue with somebody anymore because they could be looking it up right in front of you. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're like. Oh, a serendipitous means.
It's crazy, man. And the thing is, it doesn't seem like we just get so easy and, like, so quickly used to it. Like, because I was just watching the Bill Cosby special himself, like, from 1987, 80s, right. the 80s, 70s. And that long ago, it was a whole different world, like, compared to the world now.
Right.
And the thing is, from there to now, it looks like a long time, but it's not a long time. It's only been, like, you know, 3 decades or so. And we have progressed so far, and nobody's shocked about it. Like, everybody's like, okay, cool. Yeah, it's we got normal. Cell phones now. Yeah, we got iPhones and shit.
Wow,
like, I remember when I bought, I was saving up a bunch of money to get a PSP. When that came out, that was the shit. Like, you can actually play video games in your hands,
right.
hands-on. And you can, if you're close to your friends, you can chat with them and send them files. Like, that was so cool to have. And I remember when I had that in my hand, I was like, whoa, this is life-changing. I got a PSP. Now everybody got fucking iPhones. You think people care about PSPs now?
Yeah, no. An iPhone's way better.
Yeah, it's way better.
You could probably get, like, a controller on each side of the iPhone.
But, and that happened in a span of what, like, 2-3 years that everybody got iPhones now?
Right.
Everybody got smartphones. I don't know a single person. Well, I actually know one person that doesn't have a smartphone. Right.
But it's always for, like, a reason. You know what I mean?
They're yeah, like, yeah. Not they're, like, anti. Yeah. Like, because I was like that, too. But then I'm like, I kind of need to check my emails, too. So
I was working for one of the major companies or telephone corporations, and I'd sell stuff to the people, and I was getting trained, and this guy goes that I was working with, was I was shadowing him, the guy goes, I don't want a smartphone, and he goes, if you don't want a smartphone, why don't you just get a dumb phone, and, he goes, and I was like, you're not allowed to talk to the customers like that, and he ends up selling hardcore, like, just be aggressive, take it.
Did he get fired or not?
No, he ended up started working for, like, a Fortune 500, like, brokerage firm or something.
You know, I went to the mall 2 days ago, I haven't been to the mall in a long time. I used to go so much when I was back home. I used to go to the mall all the time. Right. And now I go so unfrequently. But I went to the Glendale Galleria. Right. And I can't believe they still have that little boutique shop that they put you lotion in your hand. And then they're trying to talk you in to buy all that lotion.
You imagine how many people's hands that person just has to continually rub and look in their eyes.
The thing is, that was a hot business. And it wasn't even a hot business like that, what, like back in 06 or 05. Right. Like, I can't believe that still is a business. Like, they're trying to push you, like, buy cream, right. Like, right in the middle of the mall.
You're like, this is something I'm going to do on my own.
I remember my neighbor working that shit, and he's like, dude, I'm making mad money, man. And I'm getting girls, you know, rubbing their hands and shit. You're like, you don't even know where those hands be. Like, they probably got out of the bathroom or some shit, and you're, like, rubbing lotion to it, and you're getting all those bathroom germs on you.
Like, you got to have a spiel with it. Can you imagine if you just did it all quietly? Like,
that would be creepy. That would be super creepy.
Are you going to talk about this lotion?
He will be giggling the whole time. Giggling with his mouth closed.
I think we have a new sketch idea. That's funny. It's like, Dave, you have to say something. Anyway, lately, I don't mean to like change something. Lately, have you ever thought about ever the fact that we live, like, we think about everything that happens and try and turn it into like a bit or like a sketch or like a joke?
But that's our job, though. I mean, we're supposed to be doing that. If you're not doing that, I'm sorry for you. You're not going to make it in this business.
You bring up such a good point.
Yeah, like, you have to do it. And in the comedy world, you have to try, because supposedly, I do not agree with this, but supposedly, everything has been done,
right?
Apparently. I don't agree with this, but if everything has been done, then fucking do it. Like, just keep doing everything you can, because it's like an artist. Like, for example, I don't know if you've seen Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Right.
The Kevin Hart show, mm-hmm. and all those people, Nick Cannon, all them. Robin Thicke was part of that show in season one. He wanted to come back in season two, but he didn't know at all that Blurred Lines mm-hmm. was going to take off like crazy. He just did it like, oh, another song, whatever, I'm going to get paid off of this. And he did it, and he just became a hit. Again, you don't know what sketch of yours, you don't know what thing of yours, what joke is going to take off. Right. You might think, oh, this is going to be the most hilarious. That happens to me a lot. I'm like, this joke is fucking the best. Or, this sketch is the best I've ever written in my life. And it ends up tanking like crazy. And then the one that I never thought in a million years was going to be, it was going to be my Gangnam Style, my big hit, you know? Like, I can give millions of examples of it because I've done YouTube since like 07. So I've been doing videos over and over, and I've seen the ones that get really popular and then the ones that don't. And I'm thinking they're going to get popular. Right. It's crazy. Like, you don't really know what the public exactly wants. All you have to do is just keep creating and keep delivering, and they're eventually going to let you know what they want and what they need. And then you see, okay, then I have to do more of this or more of that, less of this and less of that.
Right.
But you have to keep on putting out and keep on putting out, man.
Public, do you love me?
Do you love me, public? You're so needy. We're comedians.
The public pushes you away. You're like, I just want you even more.
I want you even more, public. I want you even more. Do you miss Portland?
Oh, every day. I miss certain things about it for sure. And they
kind of... How green it is?
Very green. And the leaves that do fall are these big old maple-looking ones. And, like, they have tons of evergreen trees. I love palm trees. If they weren't around anymore, if I went back north, I'd miss them. Mm. So, like, I think I miss more about L.A. than up there, except for the people. Miss, like, a lot of my friends... and family and stuff. So that's one thing that's hard. But the water's good up there.
the water.
The Portland Trailblazers.
It's horrible over here.
Best team in the National Basketball Association. Anyway.
Lakers. Not this year, but.
You know. Well, you guys have a couple more titles than us. I don't know.
A couple? Just a few?
You guys had more, like a three-peat, like multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
That's messed up. Anyway. But this year.
Do you think this year, who do you think is going to win?
Either
win at all?
The Pacers or the Blazers. That's who's going to be in the finals, for sure.
Surprised you didn't say the Heat. Are you a Heat hater?
No, it's just not their year. I mean, they're getting too old to try and compete against Indiana and the rest of the league. And I think that the San Antonio Spurs are going to do well, but they're going to try and probably collapse towards the end of the year. They have a lot of the same squad. And then the OKC.
OKC is looking really good, too. But they always look good, but then at the end, nothing happens, dude.
Right.
Nothing happens. I honestly think it's going to go again to the East Coast. I would not want the Heat to win again. I would really enjoy if they don't win. I would think I'm also with you. I really think what was the team you just said?
Portland Trailblazers.
Nah, they're West Coast.
You're thinking about the Pacers.
The Pacers, I really think they have a big chance. I will see, because again, the playoffs is a whole nother ball game. It's not regular season. People usually get their assholes really tight when it comes to playoffs time. So we'll see, because they're a really young team. So sometimes young teams, man, they need like a few more years for that playoff experience to really take off. But we'll see. I really think it's gonna be East Coast this time, just because the West Coast is like it looks really good, but it's just I feel like they're not cutting it out. For example, Clippers, they've always been a great team on paper, an amazing team on paper. Right. But then at the end, they don't do shit. The Lakers, they have a horrible team this year. They're not going to do it at all. And I'm a Laker fan. And Golden State, another team that looks amazing. But it's like, we'll see at the playoffs. Because it's a whole nother ball game, man. And they always fuck up at the end.
I think the Blazers are tied for first in the West. I think they're 25-5.
You guys don't have Zach anymore, right?
Who?
A Randolph.
Oh, Zach Randolph?
New York, right?
I think, either New York or Minnesota or something like that. We traded him a long time ago. We have LaMarcus Aldridge, Wesley Matthews, Damian Lillard, and Nicholas Batum.
You still got Nick Van Exel?
That's so funny. You just keep asking about, like, people from, like, do you still have Scottie Pippen?
No, Scottie Pippen is Bulls, man.
I know.
Bulls claim him.
He was on the Blazers when we went to the finals the West Coast finals versus the Lakers.
Nick Van Exel was a memorable Blazers player.
Was he?
I
don't know if he's
I used to play him in NBA Jam all the time.
No, I don't think so, man.
Trailblazers on fire.
Boom shakalaka.
There was a boom shakalaka. Footsie.
Yeah, that's from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But I think it should have been involved in there, too. If you did like a super hard dunk on somebody and they fell in, be like, whoopee.
Did you see, by the way, are you an MMA fan at all?
Oh, the leg.
Oh, my God, dude. We have to address that. Last weekend was the big fight, the two big fights. It was an amazing pay-per-view, period. Like, honestly, it was my favorite UFC event of all time. Right. UFC 168. Anderson Silva versus the kid, the champion.
He was like, let me see if I could kick this leg. Let me see if I can kick it again. One more time.
It took me a while because I actually saw a replay a couple times and I couldn't see the actual like leg like it was until they put the still picture of it. I was like, oh my God.
It turned into jelly.
Into jelly. Like that was like just cheesecake.
Oh.
Ah, it was gross. Did you see the girl fight though?
No, I didn't. I only saw the replay of the kick.
Oh, okay.
From what I understand, she submitted her.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I think that the women fighting is awesome. I really enjoy, like, watching it. Is there a statistic, do you think, because I honestly don't know, where they submit more often? Like, they submit the other, opponent? Because it seems like that's the outcome of all of those fights.
Well, this is the thing. I'm starting now again to like follow UFC as often.
Right.
So I'm not the best person to know UFC lingo, especially women's, because I believe this is like my third bout that I see from women's fighting.
Right.
Actual.
I think the three of them though that I've seen have been all submission.
Well, at least that particular, the champion right now, the UFC champion, the girl from Venice, California, that chick, all her fights, she's 8-0 now. Okay. All her fights have been with armbar submission. And she actually fought that girl, Rosie, from Strikeforce before, and she broke her arm doing that armbar. Like, I saw it. It was so fucking nasty, dude. When they show the replay of her breaking her arm.
It just turns out like a chicken wing.
Dude, like, it was gross. Like, I've only seen that only once, and it was actually when I was in high school. Senior year, they were doing this thing called the Goofy Games, which is like a field day, but they were just playing stupid games. Like, we'll put the egg on top of the of the spoon, and you have to run over there. You know, stupid games like that. They were doing this tug of war, and this little kid, dude, he was probably like in the freshman or whatever, but he was like so skinny and so fragile. And he was like pulling. They put him like up first in the lineup of the tug of war, and he was pulling, and he fell down. And he fell down like really awkwardly. That when his left hand touched the ground, that's his bone snap, and he went out of his skin. You can actually see the bone out. That's how gross it was to break your arm on that arm bar. Like, you actually see the bone snap and go to the other side that it's not supposed to be there. It's just gross, dude.
The fact that, like, when you're in an arm bar, there's nothing you can do. Like, you have to, that person either has to let go or, like.
Submit quick. I will submit quick. If I'm in an arm bar, I submit quick. I don't want nobody to break my arm. I already got my arm broken once.
How'd that happen?
Oh, it was gross. I was in fourth grade. And I was a kid. I was practicing martial arts. I was doing Aikido. And I was doing these moves that the sensei was, teaching me and shit. And then, like, this random fat guy just starts screaming. I don't know how fucking kids are crazy, dude. Kids are fucking crazy. He all of a sudden started screaming and running for no reason at all. He was just, and running towards me. And he pushed me, and I landed with my left arm in my back. Right. And once I touched the ground, I only heard, and I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't move my arm at all. I was just started crying and crying and crying. Then my mom came by. That kid's parents were like, oh, my God, we're so sorry. We're going to pay for everything, you know, and whatever. And my mom was like, no, it's fine, whatever. We'll take him to the hospital. It's going to be fine. It's okay. It's not your fault. You know, it's kid's fault, whatever. It happens. So we went to the hospital, dude. And the first hospital we went to, they actually didn't even have the material to put a cast on me. They literally put a wooden plank, like, in my arm and a bunch of bandages. They didn't even have x-rays. That's how fucking broke of a hospital it was. And I had to go all the way to the other side of the island in Puerto Rico to actually get my x-rays and my shit done. And, you know, when I got my x-rays, clearly my bone was ripped apart. Like, one was all the way to the left and the other one was all the way to the right. Like, I literally didn't have contact. I couldn't move my arm at all. So basically what happened, they put me in this room, and there were three guys. One guy was trying just by himself because I was a kid, fourth grade. Right. But it clearly I wasn't going to give, you know, I couldn't move my arm, but I was like, I'm not a fucking idiot. I know what you're going to do. And then they had to bring three guys, to actually grab me. And they were pulling my arm constantly because they have to put it in place.
Right.
So that's what they did. They did that like 36 times. And all you can hear from the whole hospital is just screams. Like, that was the moment I screamed the most in my entire life. Right. Like, my mom after was like, was that a girl screaming? I'm like, no, that was me. And because they had to put my arm in place, dude. And I had a cast for an entire year. It sucked fucking dick to be me at that time. A fucking year, dude. Smelling like shit. Like, you know when you have a cast, that shit fucking smells like athlete's food 24/7.
Imagine, that's like wearing shoes with no socks for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, dude. It was a fucking pain in the ass to shower, to just live with that shit. I was, at that point, all I wanted to do with my life, it wasn't even comedy. Like, I had comedy in the back of my head, right. But what I really wanted to be was a do sports, some kind of sports. Right. Whether it was football, soccer, basketball, some kind of sports. Because that was like the thing they would raise you to do.
Right.
They would be like, you're going to be a baseball player. You're going to be a basketball player. Something like that. So I was just, and it sucked because I'm like, I got fucking cast. Like, I cannot play. They won't let me. They actually let me run for some reason. Like, their politics are just fucked up. They let me be in the track team.
With a broken arm?
With the fucking broken arm, dude. And I did it. Because I was just, I need to do something. I cannot be just in the bench just hanging out. I need to be working out.
Did it hurt your arm more?
No, it actually, I guess it made it better, if anything. But it just made it fucking more smelly. I was sweating inside that shit. And I had it, like, up to here. Yeah. I got it cut down illegally, like, up to, like, my wrist.
Oh.
Because at that moment, my neighbor from, like, two doors down, he got a cast, too, for some other reason. And he's like, dude, cut that shit. Like, why do you have that shit so big? And, like, because they made it like that, so I always have my arm sticking out like an L all the time. Fucking sucked. And he's like, let's cut that shit. And he cut it like to my wrist.
Just the homie hook up.
He's like,
I'm a doctor. Don't worry. He's like, what are you? Come on.
Dude, I'm glad he did. Because I was starting to see like this side of my arm, like the elbow part, it was turning fucking gray.
Oh, like, it's like dying.
Because it haven't been washed for like 4 months.
Oh.
Starting
to slowly dying.
Oh, so disgusting. Yeah, have you ever broken anything?
I think my nose when I got punched once. That's about it.
You got punched right in the nose?
Yeah, someone.
That sucks.
Someone punched me.
See, I never thought of that. I should have done that all the time. I would have won fights so much quicker.
Well, they didn't win. They just punched me in the nose. There's a difference. No, I don't like fighting, though. But, no, that's the only time I've ever broken anything that I can think of. Sprained my ankle a couple times. I got stitches a bunch, like on my knees and in my head. And that's about
it. In your head for what?
I was riding a bicycle, and I was like, I don't need a helmet. I lost, like, my Ninja Turtles helmet. And I don't need one. And they're like, you need to get a helmet. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
How old were you?
Probably, like, fourth grade, fifth grade maybe. And so we're riding bikes, and I went down the small hill, and I turned around to see if everyone was still behind me because they were just across the street. And I turned back around, and there was like a pole that prevents cars from driving down the path. And I was like, ting! And I just fell over and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that sucked. So I like went to put my hand on my head. And I was like, kept it there for a second, and I looked at my hand, and there was blood everywhere on it. And it wasn't until I saw the blood that I started crying. I was like, I'm hurt. So they took me to the hospital and got me stitches. But
it reminds me of a moment. I was like, kid, this is the only time I had stitches ever. I was a fucking stupid kid. I don't even know what age I was. And I remember I was just running around. Like, there was this big carpet and a little coffee table in the living room. And I was just running around it. For some fucking stupid reason, I just started running around it, and one of my feet, like, got caught with the carpet, and, like, I fell down right to my chin, like, I hit my chin, and when I got up and I started walking, I started to see drips of blood every time I was walking. I just freaked out, and I got, like, fucking 8 or 9 stitches, and I still have the thing. You always have it forever.
Yeah.
So
our bodies are always a tribute to what happened. Like, it's, you always try to deny the fact, like, oh, I'm a different person. You're like, you're that same 4-year-old. You're the same 10-year-old. Like, gosh.
Oh yeah, I hit my pinky all the time.
One time I wanted to see if the oven was hot. We had this, like,
oh my god,
we had this this fireplace, but we would boil water on top of it. I don't know why they would do that. There's probably a good reason. But I went and put my hand right next to where the boiling water was. It was on top of the fireplace. And immediately I pulled my hand back, and I was like, oh, that hurt. So I walk into the bathroom, and my mom was like just getting out of the shower or doing her hair or something. And so I turn on the water, and I put my hand underneath the water. And she goes, why are you turning on the water? And I go, I didn't say anything. And so she goes, why are you turning on the water? And I go, so she turns off the water. And I look at her, and I start bawling. I remember I ended up like having my hand wrapped up, and I went to Cub Scouts and stuff like that with a wrapped up hand, and like that was...
That's crazy, man. I got burned with an iron. I was ironing my shirt, and my fucking stupid ass neighbor comes by, and he goes like, "Boo," you know, all that shit. And I freaked out, and I dropped the iron right in my like thigh. Oh shit! I still got the mark, dude. Sucks. Every time I'm like, "This is because of you, motherfucker." I got that forever.
You just keep pulling up your pants, like, "Look, man, this is inner thigh."
Look,
look, watch your.
I don't even have to shave that spot anymore. That's how burned it is.
Just shave around. There's nothing growing there anymore.
Nothing grows, nigga. Oh. Nothing grows. dude. I want to go to Portland. I have to go. I really wanted to go, man.
No sales tax.
No sales tax, yeah.
So what a lot of people
I got. It's just everybody I meet from Portland, they're just fucking cool, dude. They're like the coolest people I've ever met, ever.
Not every. Well, that's because they made it out of Portland. Sometimes if you go to the east side of Portland, like too far east, tends to get a little sketch.
I'm
talking Gresham sketch. There's a place called Gresham.
What's the sketchiest thing that has ever happened to you?
In Gresham?
Mm-hmm.
Just
took kids, the Greyhound bus.
Kids trying to fight you and stuff. It's not Greyhound far. You could just take the there's a thing called the Max, and it goes east and west. Crazy stuff has always happened on the Max. It's like an above car subway. It's a train.
Hmm.
And once you're in, the doors go boom, they shut. You get to you're stuck with the next person, you know, the person around, the people around you for a long time, you know, like a minute, 2 minutes, and anything happened, they're always yelling and fighting at each other. And I used to drink a lot, like actual hard, like not hard alcohol, but like, you know, stiff drinks and stuff.
Hmm.
And then, I don't know, just getting drunk and causing trouble. And now I'm more mature. I live in Hollywood, California.
What is the craziest drunken story you can think of?
Probably that one time I got too drunk, and it was just because we'd had a bunch of drinks with dinner, and my friend is a chef, and so we go around to all these different places that he either worked at then or had worked at previously, or he went to his culinary school. We just ate and drank and ate and drank and ate and drank. And I remember all of a sudden I just woke up in the drunk tank.
Drunk tank?
Yeah.
What's that?
They throw you into, it's like jail, but it's specifically for people who are drunk. So they don't.
Is that only in Portland or that's everywhere?
I'm pretty sure everywhere. Pretty sure that's a thing.
It's called the drunk tank?
Right.
Never heard of it.
They just take you to the jail or the police station, and they just throw you in a room and they lock you up for a second and give you granola bars and water and send you on the way. I'm sure if you abuse it, you know what I mean? You do it a bunch, then you're going to get in trouble, but. I don't know. People get too drunk, and they need to get thrown in the drunk tank.
But do you get, like, a misdemeanor or something? Like,
no. Usually, they could charge you if they wanted to for drunken disorderly conduct or drunk in public or whatever. But I guess in Portland, yeah, maybe that's just a thing. they don't charge you.
They're like, "Oh, are you better? Okay, go out."
It was seriously. I talked with this long-haired guy with glasses, and he was like, "Hey, man, looks like you're giving the police a little bit of trouble."
And you don't remember, like, they even getting you and everything?
No.
He just woke up there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was like, you know, had one too many drinks. I remember going down the elevator from this really nice restaurant. We're at the Portland City Grill. And so I remember going in the elevator, and then all of a sudden it was like 4 or 5 a.m. And, like, it wasn't like I passed out in the drunk tank. I was probably just sitting in there being drunk or something. Mm. Like, you know, and then you just come to, like, "Oh, what's going on?" Yeah, it wasn't a good time. Thanks a lot, Josh. But Josh recently had a kid, so we're all grown up now. It's wild.
I think that's one of the reasons why I try to stay away from alcohol. Even with today, before you texted me, you were like, "Hey, you want to drink some beers?" I was like, "Well, okay, a beer would not hurt. Just one.
It's just a beer.
I don't want to drink too many. I get a bit crazy when I drink a lot of alcohol, right. Like really fucking crazy.
Everybody is, yeah.
It depends. Some people get really aggressive. Mm-hmm. Some other people get, like, really flirty.
Right.
It's like, me, I get... either if I'm around with girls, like I get flirty as fuck. But if anything, I just want to have a good time. I just fucking go out like that time, like we did the whole karaoke thing. Like right. I got pretty messed up, and I just got, you know. And we were smoking outside. It was like a little bit of weed though. Right. Like we were like, oh, we need weed. I remember, and we're just outside smoking this little bits of of weed there, and. But yeah, but we got, I remember just, I mean, I got a lot of crazy stories, but the one that's clear as day was the one that I went, I was turning into a senior in high school, so I guess I was a junior, it's called, yeah, junior. Right. And so, but I used to hang out, instead of with my class, I used to hang out with the senior class, the people that were ahead of me. And they invited me to, like, their little prom that they have.
Right.
It was just a crazy-ass party that they have. And I remember one moment, I literally had 3 mixed drinks in my hand. Because I had my drink that was, like, I think it was Black Label, just straight.
Right.
And then one of my buddies goes, like, hey, can you hold my drink real quick? I'm taking a picture. And it was, like, vodka with Sprite. And then my other friend was like, dude, can you hold? I'm going to take a picture with this dude, too, and with this girl. And I'm like, okay. And he gave me his drink, and he had, like, fucking Jaeger straight. And I remember that moment. I had all 3, and I thought in my head, I'm like, what would be really cool to mix all them 3? And I just put all 3 straws in my mouth, and I started drinking. After that, I was just drinking nonstop.
Right.
And I just remember flashes of that party. Mm-hmm. I remember I made out with, like, 2 different girls. I got into an argument with some people. I photobombed almost everybody. I danced with, like, grandmas and shit. And then when everything turned blue was when... Because I was going crazy also because I wasn't driving. Like, my mom was picking me up and shit. And, like, she picked me up. She had this big taxi. And I fell asleep, like, when I got there. Like, I just laid down and passed the fuck out. When she woke me up, dude, I had absolutely no balance at all. Like, as soon as I touched the ground, I was going to the ground. Like, I couldn't walk. So she was, like, carrying me. And at the moment, it had to be at that moment. It just makes the story perfect. She, like, turned me around. I was looking, I was facing her, and I threw up all over her.
Oh.
And then my mom's boyfriend came and, like, helped her out and shit because my mom was freaking out.
Right.
And I threw up on him, too.
Oh.
And I just kept throwing up and throwing up and throwing up, but to the point that I was like, ugh! And I didn't have anything. But I was just going, ugh! Ugh! And then the next morning, I'm like, what the fuck happened last night?
Dang. That's, yeah, I've definitely thrown up a couple times. I think that as you get older, you definitely just drink less. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, or your life gets curbed. I mean, it's essentially how it goes. Like, you have to think about, like, really successful people are not alcoholics.
Not necessarily. I mean, everybody has their own vice, you know?
And maybe, like, a definition of an alcoholic might be loose. Like, if you drink every day, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're an alcoholic. But if, like, you're taking, like, 10 shots, you know what I mean, and then trying to go about your business, like, it's not going to work. Like, if you're day drinking, like, you're not going to win. If you're doing comedy, like, and you get drunk all the time, like, that's not going to work, I feel like.
I mean, it worked for some comedians, but then afterwards, just those are the comedians that pass away quick.
Yeah, it's like a year or two ago.
Shout out to Greg Giraldo.
Whoop, no. It's if you drink too much, you know, you're going to lose. It's like, that's just math. That's simple arithmetic.
Just having too much of something is bad.
Right.
Because even weed, which is harmless, like, if you're just doing that, like, 24 hours a day, every single day, and, like, your life is that... It's like, you need to move on. Like, you need to do something.
Straight sativa all the time.
Straight sativa, you know. And I don't even write jokes. I just sit around and watch movies and play video games.
Like, do you think there's a huge difference for you between sativa and indica?
You know, sometimes. Sometimes I can't even tell, but sometimes I really can feel it. It depends on the strain and all that, like... Because usually I hit an indica, especially a strong one, and I'm like... Like, I literally see myself just literally standing up the chair, walking towards my bed, and falling asleep like that quick. But then with Sativa, you know, I can write, I can clean the fucking house, I can do shit, right. And I'm actually operating instead of just like, let me sleep for a little bit. Let me take a nap that usually takes 6 hours later, and I'm like, fuck. And then I wake up with that haze.
Yeah.
Like, just, shit.
And it can last forever.
Yeah.
And, like, it tapers very slowly. Like, just, like, it just slowly glides to the ground. Where as far as, like, Stevie, you notice that there's, like, a heavy drop, you know, at some point. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be all foggy forever. But I don't know, I'm not dissing on indica. Just, yeah, specifically for me, I have to do sativas, like, to be a functioning person.
Yeah. It has to be. I'm all about productive stoners, dude. Like, I always tell that to everybody I smoke with. I'm like, if you're smoking with me, you're gonna work. You're gonna be doing shit. Like, you're not just gonna be smoking and just chilling and doing nothing. Like, we're gonna write, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. And, cause I'm all about that. Like, that was the biggest thing I hated. I had a roommate when I moved out here, that he would smoke weed, like, every day, all day, 24/7.
Right.
But he wouldn't do anything. Like, he will be, like, he will have days that literally is like, oh, 24 hours passed by, and all I did was sleep. All I did was wake up, smoke weed, sleep. Wake up, smoke weed, sleep. And that's all that he did an entire fucking day. He wasted an entire day. Dang. Just doing that. I'm like, really? That's going to be your life forever? Like, you know this is not going to last long. Like, you actually have to pay bills eventually and do all that. Your parents are not going to do all that.
You're describing my first month of unemployment. That's exactly. I was like, oh, gosh, I'm laid off. It was a good time in my life.
I've done it before, mainly when I'm sick. Right. Just so I get the time to pass by quick. I'm like, I cannot get sick. So I'm like, smoke, sleep, smoke, sleep, smoke, sleep. But I can't do. I just feel like it's a new day. I have to do shit. Like, I have to do little moves to get towards that greater goal that I'm trying to get or whatever it is.
Have you ever had mono before?
Mono?
Mono. It's mononucleosis. It's like a...
Oh, that's the kissing disease?
Yeah.
No, I have a friend that had it.
Oof. Like, three...
She got hospitalized and everything.
Right. Yeah.
That's insane, dude. Like, and I've kissed a lot of girls. I'm like, fuck. Like,
it's like drinks.
I'm surprised I didn't get it.
Drinks you share, water fountains. I mean, I don't know.
I share tons of drinks. I share tons of joints. I share tons of everything, and I'm surprised I never have gotten it.
Right. That's the only thing that I've ever think that's been like, whoa, I have a body. Like, I got it in my sophomore year, like sophomore summer. And I was just wrecked for 3 weeks. I slept 23 hours a day. For the hour that I was awake, I'd watch TV, but mom was like, dude, you wouldn't say anything. You're just quiet. I was like,
Can you get through, like, you know, like mono, you get it through like that, like if you share a drink or whatever. Can you get herpes like that too?
I think so. You have to have an open sore, or they have to have an outbreak, I think.
Dude, I did this sketch one time.
Just a huge thing?
Oh, my God. This lady was sitting next to me. We were shooting a sketch with my friend Shoni for Second City in Hollywood. And this lady was sitting next to me. The biggest fucking herpes I ever seen in my entire life. She just had it right there just popping out. And I just wanted... I didn't know if I should stare at it or just look away.
Right.
Like, it was just so huge. It was clear. And you know what they always say, a cold sore. It's like, it's clearly a fucking herpes. Like, that shit is fucking throbbing.
A cold sore is herpes, though. Like, I think there's two different types, though. I don't, like, I'm not, like, super a doctor or whatever, but I've read a lot.
I wouldn't be out if I had a herpes that big, dude. Like, I would be inside the house.
It'd be a sick day for
putting
you.
Putting ointment or whatever it is just to get it down.
You're wearing a
veil. And then
veil.
Get out. Something. I wouldn't be in public if I had that big ass thing in my fucking lip.
Was she in the sketch, or you were just shooting next to her?
No, she was in, because it was like a press conference type of thing.
Mm.
And by the way, the sketch, you will never see the sketch, because the sketch got fucked up and it's never going to be released. So, but basically, she was, it was a press conference, so I was like the Spanish guy for Telemundo, like talking Spanish and shit just to make it funny.
Right.
And, but she was next to me, she was another press conference lady or whatever. But it's just, you, there's no way you can, makeup cannot cover that shit up. Like, it's clear as day that she had, like, a big ass herpes / cold sore.
This is Rudolph the Red Lip. No.
And she wasn't, I mean, she wasn't the most attractive lady in the world, but she wasn't even, like, the ugliest. Like, she was okay. She was, like, good, solid 6, which is that herpes made her a 2. Like,
solid 6. That's the worst number you could call somebody is a 6.
A 6?
Because
in some schools, you can still pass with a 6.
But, like, you got to think, like, if you were... If you said below 6, she would be like, oh, he's just kidding. You know what I mean? He's just trying to be mean. If you said above 6, it's like, oh, at least he's giving me a 7 or an 8. But if you say 6, that's like the perfect number to be like, oh.
No, but I'm saying, like, in some schools, you can pass with a 6, right?
What, oh, 60%?
Yeah.
No.
With D, a D.
D.
That's a D.
Yeah, I guess you get credit.
I heard a lot of colleges and a lot of schools you can pass with a D. Yeah. I've never been in those type of schools. Like, you always have to pass with at least a C.
Right.
Because I've always been put in, like, high academic school. I'm a pretty intelligent person, you know? But for those ones, like, I've really heard that there's a lot of colleges and places you can pass with a D. I know ITT Tech, for sure, you got to pass with a D.
Right.
So a lot of people have passed with a D, even though it's not a legit school, but...
School wasn't really hard for me. It was just, like... I'd find what I needed to do in order to not work the hardest, and I would just do exactly that.
I think I was the same way, too.
Like, I would, like, I was so, like, because they didn't make it, like, they didn't make it so that we were learning something that we would really, like, they never taught us how to, like, write checks. Never taught us about, like, paying bills or, like, the stock. They did barely touch on the stock market. Don't you think it would have been at least spent a year talking about the stock market? You're going to teach me languages and stuff. Why don't you teach me code? Like, all the stuff that we learned was just, like, frills.
Well, only one thing, though, that I'm really going to appreciate about school was the video editing fact. Because I had a computer class just for 1 year, and they emphasized just a little bit. They didn't go in depth, but they emphasized just a little bit the video editing, and they made us do, like, a little some projects here and there.
Right.
And I always got voted the most creative just because I just said, okay, this is something I got to do for a few hours. Right. The video editing is not like something you just do and it takes you 10 minutes to do it. Like, it takes you a while, especially when you're starting.
Right.
And I said, at least I'm going to actually put effort on this shit. And so far, like, I've been doing, you know, fast forward like 10 years later and I'm fucking still doing it. And I'm actually making money off of that shit.
Right.
Like, that's my side little gig whenever acting or stand-up or whatever it is and not going on. Right. I just do that.
It's smart, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, some, like, I don't want to do that shit forever.
Right.
Because it's tiring.
It takes a while.
Yeah, but still cool.
But learning that skill and having that underneath your belt, even if you only used it for your own sketches and your own production, like, there's a ton of people that do editing that are comedians and actors. I think Louis C.K. edits his own.
Yeah, he's now editing his stuff, yeah.
Right. So that's like, what? He's an editor, too? Like, you know, and just knowing that you can do that for your own stuff.
And that's cool because you have so much creative freedom. You know, if you just learn to do everything, you won't need necessarily another person or hire another person for a certain job that you can already do, you know?
Totally. And then you have creative control over a lot more. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had like a, you're like, okay, well, you know, I got the really nice camera. I know how to do the editing, but I'm not really good at sound. Or, you know, just every single time that you can control something of what you're doing, you have creative control. And then you can see it for, you're like, well, when I do this, I'm going to edit it this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the mechanic is also the race car driver.
That's correct. And sometimes we get that opportunity to get certain skills that we even think, why are we even doing this thing? Like, why is this going to be a component in my life for? But later in the long run, that's when you actually see, oh my God, now I get why I learned this skill. Because, for example, video editing was one of those. I'm like, why am I really going to use this for? I'm doing it just because it's a requirement for this class. But in the future now, oh, shit, I'm editing people's demo reels. I'm editing my own demo reel. You know, I'm making things happen and shit. One thing I did also back in Florida, when I lived in Florida, I was touring around different theater companies, and I was setting up their lights. Like, I was installing their gobo lights and all this shit. And in different theaters. And I'm like, why the fuck do I even have to do this? Like, why am I going to learn all this stuff? But then it helped me when I was getting my own lights, you know. Right. Like, whenever I'm trying to do my own productions, now I'm more wise about which lights to pick, which are crap, how to install them, how to use them, you know. Like, now I know all this stuff a little bit more, you know, and it helps my productions. And I didn't thought at the moment that I was going to use it for anything. It's just something I have to do because it's work.
Right.
But if you don't know until, like, the end. You just got to keep on doing what you're doing already.
Is that like, a metaphor for school? Like, we had to learn, yeah. Oh, the way they taught us so much random stuff.
So much. No, but I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of shit that they taught me in school I'm not using.
You know, they should. Period. They should, like, allow me to go back through for, like, just a week at school and, like, sit in there with the kids. And every time I'm like, nah, we're not going to do this. And then just, like, fast forward. Like, we're not going to waste an hour and a half of these little kids' time doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Think, like, no, we're not going to do that.
No. It's over. It's not doing.
They're not writing a biography on Madonna. They're not going to do that.
You're not reading Romeo and Juliet. Why? Why?
Just because everyone else did.
Yeah, man. Well, that's cool for you. Everybody has to go to school. I hated school personally when I was there, but I'm not there anymore. Right. So fuck it. So every kid should go through it. And when I have kids, I know I'm going to put them through it. Because they have to fucking do it.
Isn't it funny how, like, the whole time you're like, man, I hate this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And then when you think about it, you're like, when I become a parent, like, I'm just going to make them go to school. Of course.
And I'm going to make them have a lot of classes so they don't fuck with me anymore.
Oh, man. Do you ever have the fear that they won't be able to, they'll bring home something and you won't know how to do it? You know, for the first couple of years, it's always easy. But then, you know, like, seventh grade comes around and you're like, I haven't done this in 25 years, 30 years.
Well, you know, by the time that shit, like, because I think the most things I'm going to struggle with are going to be, like, the advanced stuff.
Right.
Like, the elementary, the whole multiplying, sum, add, you know, all that shit, the subtract. I can do that all day, every day. But, like, when they bring, like, trigonometry and, like, crazy, the Python's theory, whatever the fuck right. It is, all that shit, you know, like, they're going to be at a level, like, they're going to be, like, past middle school that I will say, you got it, dude. Like, you don't need my help. You don't need my help. You got Google and you got your fucking eyeglasses.
Yeah, why don't you watch a YouTube video? Can you imagine, like...
There's actually YouTube videos. I've used it before for college. There's actually YouTube videos that show you, like, different, the whole theories and shit. And,
right.
Like, I remember I took a whole class of, when I was taking college, I was taking stats in University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bunch of questions, dude, and the teacher was just so busy. I looked it up on Google, and a YouTube video popped up. And he teach me the whole class, like, right there and there. So by that time, I'm pretty sure everything's going to be online. Everything's going to be so accessible that it's not going to be tough. Because even me, when I was trying to read novels, like, for example, I had a couple of years that I had to read Harry Potter.
Right.
I'm like, why am I learning Harry Potter? Like, is this going to be something beneficial in my life? No. Right. So I ended up going, like, after 110 pages that I read, of like 750,
right.
I was like, fuck this, I'm gonna get the Spark Notes. Right. And I read all the Spark Notes and I passed it with a B minus, but I still passed it.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So that's all I needed.
And yeah, just getting the gist of it, like, I don't know, reading just for the sake of reading kind of turned me off to it. And like, I know how to read, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not like ignorant, I can put chapters together and, like, you know, absorb all of the information. But I had to read so much in school and through college that I now don't read books for pleasure anymore. Like, I would, if it's not on audiobook and it's not like a manual, you know, like something that I just have to read in order to know how to do something, I don't do it. I don't know. It's like, that's sad because that's all. It's like a little kid doesn't want to ride a bike anymore. You know what I mean?
But at least you had that passion that you used to read in school for pleasure.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I never had that passion until now. I became backwards. Like, before, I hated reading. I just hated it, man. Especially if it was subjects that I just didn't want to read, you know? Like, I don't care about this shit. I'm just reading it because I'm forced to it, but I don't want to read it. But now I find that I'm becoming aware more about reading. Because we read all the time. We're just not aware of it. Because we read Facebook feeds all the fucking time. Twitter feeds all the time. We're just not aware that the amount of stuff that we read. The news. People read the news all the time. There's so many things that we read. We're just not aware of how much we read because it's just things that we want to get informed about. Things that we actually look for and we want to get to know. But we read a lot, dude.
You ever see somebody our age like reading a graphic novel and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you?
Well, I don't hang out with those people.
Somebody is out there reading like a John Grisham book. I'm like, all right, we need to come talk. We're gonna go have a beer,
dude. My sister had the whole Twilight series and shit. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Just go watch the movies. You spend less time wasting your life. And no, I need to read the books. They're so good. Like, who the fuck cares about all that werewolf vampire shit? Is that going to change your life? Really? Is that going to change your life?
What was that? The normal chick is getting banged out by super creature people.
Fucking The Hobbit and shit.
Yeah, I saw that new one.
You saw it?
It's the...
I can't get into those movies.
Oh, my God. It was the best movie experience.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings and all that. I've seen Star Wars and all that. I can get into the space shit, but not into,
Have you seen it in IMAX 3D?
What, The Hobbit or Star Wars?
The new Hobbit.
I haven't seen The Hobbit. I haven't seen Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit,
I'm telling you right now, instead of 24 frames per second, they made it 48 frames per second. You can tell a noticeable difference. It was like... Plus, everything is in super pop-out 3D, IMAX, and it's a different type of 3D. So it's not like real D or whatever, not like Toy Story 1, which was pretty cool on its own. But this one was like, it was like super depth. There was like from you to the screen away, like depth. Like, it was like, and the sound and the... They had this one scene where you'd go down the water, and they're all the little hobbits were in barrels, and then there's people chasing them on the side of the river, like shooting them with arrows. And, oh my god! People are like, I can't help it.
That's so cool, dude. I need to go to the bathroom real quick. I'm peeing like a motherfucker. Just promote your shit. Go ahead and throw dates or whatever you want to promote, and entertain the people while I come back. I'll be right back, folks.
So, looks like it's just you and me, folks. For the next 3 hours, we're going to talk about how John Denver's impacted us and all the great ways. He's in the bathroom now. We can talk about him. So later on, this is going to be the part of the podcast where he comes back and he's like, what did he say? He wasn't talking loud enough. Well, I'd like to tell you, Steve's a great guy, and I appreciate you guys listening. You guys have been super good. Looking forward to any kind of feedback. You're like, Kyle, when you do the nasally voice, it's not my favorite. Which I will probably, at Douglas MacArthur. I do what I want. West Coast in your face. Tell you a little bit about where Steve lives. It's downtown area. It's really cool. It's a lot different than the Hollywood area where I live. There's a KFC near here. He's like, don't describe it too much or the listeners can hear. If you haven't been to downtown actual LA, it's all financial districts. And there, like at night, it completely shuts down and it's overrun with a lot of people who are less fortunate. And they have 24-hour subways, but other than that, it's closed. I am on Twitter at I Got Kyle, and also on Facebook, just look up Kyle Henson. And I enjoy long walks on the beach, Harry Potter books, Barry Manilow. I love enjoy a cool beer every once in a while. I think Steve's coming back. Steve, I told them all about, I gave them your address on your
You gave him my address? No.
I was like, he's near a 24-hour subway.
I'm near a 24-hour subway, people. Out of how many?
Yeah, and you can see downtown L.A.
You know, I got really pissed off the other day. I went to, I was down La Brea and like almost 3rd Street. I see a subway sign, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm getting some subway, right? It was like 2 in the morning. I stop. It's not a 24-hour subway.
What?
I'm like, I thought every subway was 24 hours by now.
That should be.
I got really pissed off.
You just protest till they open?
Yeah. And the thing is, right beside it, there was a Yogurtland, and that shit was open.
Yogurtland was open by the subway.
Yogurtland was open at 2 in the morning. Like, what the fuck was that?
Oh, that's one thing I've definitely gotten into around here is eating Froyo all the time.
They don't have it in Portland?
I just never really... I'm sure they do. It's just more hip here. More like... There's more Starbucks-y type. Okay, things that they have here that they don't all the time back there. Massage parlors everywhere.
Have you been to rubmaps.com?
What's that?
Rubmaps.com is the website that you can check for the actual massage parlor, especially in LA. I mean, I think it's throughout the country, but I think especially it's in LA that they tell you like where they jack you off and they do all that shit.
In the massage parlor?
In the massage parlor. And you go like you're paying for a massage and they fucking twist you around and they fucking jack your dick and shit. Yeah, it's cool. And it's like Yelp for that shit.
Okay.
It's like people go like, oh, yeah, if you come here, ask for Tammy.
Like reviews.
She's great, licking balls.
Whoa. There's something for everybody real. Now. You're like, I want to find out how there's like Tinder and there's rub maps. And
that's another thing. I didn't know about Tinder at all until like last summer.
Apparently it's where you like, if two people like each other based on their profiles, then it allows you to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've heard of.
See, we need to come up with some of that shit. Like, that's what's making money right now.
Something like that. They should just come up with one for comedy. So, like, oh, when another fellow comedian's in town, you can get together and go to one open mic.
You get hooked up with a veteran comic and he'll give you advice for 5 minutes.
Guaranteed tags.
He'll let you feature for one of his acts.
Every single time.
You always have to end it.
There's
like that.
Yelp ratings on him. Well, this comedian, he was all right.
He went to Last Comic Standing and ended up fourth. I met up Felipe Esparza the other day.
Nice.
He's a fucking cool ass dude. Mm-hmm.
Where's that at Flappers or something?
No, we went on Christmas Day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So last Wednesday, we went to see the premiere of Grudge Match.
Yeah.
The Robert De Niro, Sylvester Stallone movie. Joey Diaz. I don't know if you're familiar with Joey.
Joey fucking Coco Diaz. Suck my balls, everybody. Stay black. It's the most important.
I'm a big fan of his podcast. I listen to it like crazy. And
Meet me in Edible.
He wrote that he wanted... he wanted to do this get-together in North Hollywood to go watch the premiere of the movie. We were going to smoke a ton of weed before the show and then go see the show and fucking create chaos. Dude, it was insane. Like, about 50 people showed up, and we were all passing joints around. Like, there were, like, about 20 joints in rotation and vaporizers going around. Like, it was insane. It was insane. And then we went in the movie. Dude, when Joey Diaz came on screen, everybody started applauding. So I'm pretty sure, like, the majority of the people were, like, especially the people that weren't part of the crew, they were like, what the fuck is happening?
Have you seen him when he gets on Alex... he was on his talk show, and they were like, don't swear. Or Alex Jones. Don't swear, Joe. And he was like, fuck you.
I'm not the one you need to worry about. It's all these fucking cocksuckers out here are taking care of it. They're stealing money from you. And he just went off on this rant, and Joe, like, couldn't hold his like, just kept laughing, and, like, his face was turning red, and they ended up having to, like, you know, go to commercial immediately, and then it kicked him out. Like,
I haven't seen that. What was that show again?
On Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Joey was on Alex Jones with Joe Rogan, and so... They were like, why did you invite this guy in? He goes, I don't know. He was just standing outside smoking a cigar. He said, come on in. And he was just cursing on live radio, on Alex Jones radio. And it was just, but the stuff he was saying was so true. You know, he's like.
He's such an amazing guy, dude. He just makes you laugh out of anything he says. He's one of those dudes.
I had a fucking edible today. It was a chibachu from my good people. Everything he just throws out of his dispensary.
Oh, the good people, NoHo Organics. NoHo Organics always got the best Chibo Chews.
Where do you go for them? Is it like a dispense?
I mean, lately, I'm actually illegal right now. I'm pretty illegal. I need to go and renew my shit.
As we're hitting like a top of the line world class vaporizer, like a mobile vape.
He's like, I'm actually illegal right now, but I do have this incredible device.
The best device ever. How does it feel? It feels great, right?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, man. You can really taste the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you can just take that to anywhere. Do they trip? Has anybody been like, what is that when you pull it out?
Not really. I've been shocked. I've never been, like, questioned or anything. Like, everybody's been pretty cool about it.
I have the little wax pen, and it looks kind of like an e-cig. It gets you ripped out of nowhere.
You know there's one called a Puffit? It basically looks exactly like an asthma inhaler.
Nice.
Inhaler, yeah. Exactly.
Can you imagine that? Someone's like, that guy must really have asthma.
That guy is really getting fucked up. This is how you're getting more and more red.
A lot of them just look straight up like e-cigs. They have the same cartridge, the same everything. Because all you're doing is burning oil. And so just take it wherever you want.
Do you have to clean that one?
No.
This one's you have to. I clean this every single week. You have to be really on top of that shit.
The wax is full melt, which means it completely melts away once it's finished burning, and it leaves a minimal residue, like no type of resin. So yeah, just you don't really have to clean it. It just burns away. And I really, really like it. It's not necessarily so that I can get super stoned. It's just so that when I want a quick head change, you know, like, it's my own medicine. Yeah.
It's your own medicine.
It's my medicine.
I heard in Portland they just gave it away. They're like, yeah.
It's different. So
come
imagine.
On here.
come to Oregon.
Come on. I'll just touch your dick for a second.
So up there, they don't have dispensaries. They have like a couple of universities where you can kind of get medicine from, but no one ever really goes to those. They're not advertising or anything. Mm-hmm. What they have is it's set up to where the state gives you a license, and then you take it to a grower, and then that grower gets to grow for you. And they'll say one grower will grow, you know, for 4 or 5 patients, and you'll have 6 plants apiece, just like a full-on house full of this stuff. Mm. And then he'll give his patients medicine every once in a while, an ounce here, an ounce there. So they're happy, you know, just sitting on an ounce every month or something like that. And he's happy because he's sitting on 5 extra ounces a month per person or however much, I don't know. And so that's how it works up there. But here it's like dispensaries, and they're the ones who make all the money.
Yeah, but that shit is changing quick too, because already there's a whole country that already legalized it. Uruguay,
oh, really?
Completely legalized weed.
Whoa.
So it's getting insane. It's little by little. I'm telling you, man. It's between 10 to 15 years is going to be completely legalized.
Wouldn't you rather have somebody smoking some sativa and then going about their business than drinking a bunch of alcohol?
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't you want to have someone with an awesome vaporizer just be walking around like healthily, like, I'm going to go jogging after I smoke some sativa?
Yeah, I would rather you want more? I would rather have more like that, but again, I will say to each his own. Cause I know for some people it's really hard to like that they've been people that smoke weed and probably doesn't have the same effects as it has to me or you, you know, that we're more controlling.
Right.
Some people are just, they feel like they drank 20 fucking beers and they're just out of the place and they don't really function like that. For those people, I say practice. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, just keep.
Or just keep it. Away from it, you know, because it tweaks his own again. There's people that fucking get hooked on OxyContin and that's their fucking shit.
Right.
That's going to fuck you up, but that's what you're going to do. Cool. Do your thing. If that's what keeps you sane, just keep on doing it. Fuck it. But I will say, you know, whatever keeps you level, as long as you're not harming somebody in right. any type of way, like if you're behind the wheel and you're fucking drunk, don't do it. Like, why are you doing that?
Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive. Me, personally, I don't recommend this to anybody to smoke and actually drive. For me, it actually makes me a whole better driver. Like, right. I'm a way better driver when I'm, like, high than I'm, like, normal. Because
right.
I just get, I speed a lot when I'm sober. And I just get really impatient tons of times. And I run tons of red lights.
He's like, nobody's coming.
But when I'm smoking weed, I'm like chilling. I don't need even music. I just be cool. I'm driving at the limit. And I'm just chilling.
You see a cop, you don't even worry about it. You're like, what up, bro?
I got stopped the other day by a cop. Wow. And I was high. It's like we're a flashlight. You been drinking some? No, I was just getting Panda Express, Mr. Officer. Okay, you can go ahead.
Of course you were getting Panda Express.
Of course, if you were high. You yeah. had the munchies.
I went to a convenience store. I was at a lady friend's house, and she ends up... I come back with some items in my hand. Pause for a chronic break. And
chronic break.
So I'm walking, and the police officer pulls up next to me, and I kind of look over at him. He's like, where are you going? I was like, lady friend's house. He goes, where's that? I was like, over here. And I was like, I don't want to be a dick and be like, pause.
Pause.
I don't want to be a dick and be like, you don't, it's none of your business, but it really was none of his business.
It's but. Not, man. It's not. And he only stopped you for that?
I wasn't even doing anything. I was just walking. But... I was in West Hollywood. Probably shouldn't have been doing that.
Dude, a friend of mine got a ticket for jaywalking. What the fuck? And it was out in Hollywood, too.
How do you get a ticket for jaywalking?
Like, I've jaywalked like crazy out here, and I never gotten a ticket.
Right? You imagine?
He got a ticket for jaywalking.
Was he a dick to the cop or something? I could imagine, maybe, if you were like...
I mean, boom. He's a trying to be rapper, so who knows?
Oh, yeah.
He might have been like, oh, you know, Mr. Officer. And he's a white guy. He's a white guy trying to, you know, being black and shit.
He's like, got like size
what's going? He's
38 pants, yeah. And he's like a skin. Yo,
and he's not a small guy. He's a medium guy for his height because he's not that tall either. He's like 5'6", 5'7".
Right.
But he's a pretty big, tall guy for that size.
I could definitely see that. I think that's one of the only things that you can get in trouble for out here besides violent things is... crossing the street when it's not your turn. They get so I've gotten yelled at from them and like, that's how you're gonna get hit, you know, like, or like I'll be like I'm always aware, you know, I like even when I'm on the sidewalk and there's like a parking lot next to me, I know cars can turn in and out of the parking lot. I'm looking all around. So if I make a decision to cross the road, it's probably for everyone's better off, you know, better wellness there. And but I feel like if you, like, impede on traffic or you almost get hit, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that. I had a buddy who was like, you ever walk with somebody and they want to do something so gangster? You're with somebody and you're like, this guy was walking across the street and it was not his turn to go. Everyone else had, like, the green or whatever, and he's just going, like, through, blah, 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 and cars are, like, stopped for him. And I'm like, bro, like, you got it. You can't do that. So I was like, wait. He's like, come on, it's okay. I'm like, it's not okay. I mean, you don't want to call him out, but you're like, don't be dangerous with me.
That happens a lot, man. Up to this day, people still cross the street like they don't give a fuck. They're like, we own the street. I don't care if cars are passing by. But some people have the intent of, like, getting hit, too. I had a friend of mine that he actually got $10,000 for getting, like, hit, air quotes, because he didn't even got hit like that. But he got $10,000 of that loss.
10 G's.
10 G's, dude.
You know, sometimes, you know, you have suffering, and there's... You know,
I walk with a girl... in Bed Bath & Beyond, we were filming this sketch.
Right.
A fucking sign of those, like, Christmas, like, buy this shit from Christmas in Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right.
Fell on top of her head. It was a big-ass sign, too.
Damn.
Like, she told me, I should have fell. Like, I should have done that.
Right.
And it was all on camera, but she didn't get really that much. But she couldn't got and paid.
Well, you know, I mean, just make sure. This is a voice out to all the listeners right now. If you do happen to get into an injury and you're not at fault, make sure that you go and seek medical attention. It's very important. And do whatever the doctor tells you. And then seek legal help. This has been mirrored.
And then seek acting help in case you're not a good actor.
Right? Yeah. When in doubt, go down. Go down.
That is correct. And on that note, we have come to the end of the Steve Dess Island podcast, man. This has been so fucking fun. Dude.
Thank you so much.
No problem, man. You're going to do this again and again and again.
I'm game.
As long as you live in L.A.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm
going to live here forever, so you can come.
Even when I'm not living in L.A., or if I'm not, you know, I can come back.
I know by your famous Twitter, because everybody follows you on Twitter.
Yeah, like, Kyle, well, you were in Sydney, Australia, for the past 4 years. What have you been doing? I'm like, I'm a hip-hop sensation. Yeah, Twitter, I got Kyle, and any other social medias.
Just plug it, man. Plug it.
Yeah. Hashtag Kyle Rocks. No, I'm just... someone comes up with a hashtag, I will venture out and we will work with that hashtag.
Is Twitter your favorite social media piece?
It is. There's so much more to it. The idea of a retweet, the idea that something can get shared with others based on who you follow. So it's like... having a friend of a friend, you know what I mean? Or like, hey, I heard about this cool thing, and someone retweets it, and that's like, boom, there's a whole new thing. With Facebook and with Instagram, it's based on likes, and likes don't create, you know, you to be able to see other things unless it's super popular or whatever. So, yeah, I like for the fact of the retweet. That's the best thing ever.
How before we wrap, like, how do you get so big on Twitter? Like, there's so many, especially comedians, that follow you.
It was just getting involved early on. It's definitely been something of my passion for a long time. Also, remaining positive. If you say, like, you know, I, you ever go on somebody's feed and it's always like, well, I can't believe all these young comics, blah, 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 and they're so stupid, and, oh, you can't do a show on your, you know, whatever. They're just going off on other people in negative fashion, or you have a negative sense about yourself. You don't always have to say funny things either, but it's just making sure what you say is valid. And then second, like, reaching out to like, you know, decent people, also having, like, good content on the web. So all those combined, you know, you can kind of boost your audience and who knows you.
That's correct. So you listen up, people. That's the steps you got to follow. Are you having any shows coming up now in the new year?
I have one that's going to be at Sal's Comedy Hole on Melrose. It's going to be on January 7th. I believe it's 8:30, but you can go to igotkyle.com. That's it.
That's it. You go there. Go check it out.
Go do that.
Click on tour or the schedule, yeah, whatever it is.
They got events on there, and you can check out videos and whatnot. And yeah, I appreciate it.
It's real, coming soon.
I'm a person. You can touch me. That's you know.
Yeah.
Please don't touch me.
So after you check out Kyle's stuff, go if you have time. Only if you have time. Go ahead and check my stuff.
Do it.
It's at stevedess.com. I'm touring a lot this year. Especially all over California, at least, because that's where I can afford for now. Ooh. So we are touring, and I want to plug this date, because this date is like now, if you're listening to this right now. January 2nd, I'm going to be in Flappers Comedy Club. Flappers Comedy Club. I'm going to be there on January 2nd. It's a Thursday at 9:30 p.m. I'm going to be there with a hilarious comedians. We're going to be there in the Yoo-Hoo Room, the famous Yoo-Hoo Room, oh, where me and Kyle so met up. It's so intimate, right? It just fits like about, you know, 40 people probably.
Right.
So intimate, man. And you just, you know, you can just, you know, you don't fuck the audience, you just make love to them. That's what I love about
it. I don't see nothing wrong.
Damn, when you're gonna bump and grind.
Little bump and grind.
Mm. Yeah, for all those dates, you just go to stevedes.com/tour for all that shit. Check it out. I want to thank my guest, Kyle, for being so awesome.
Thank
fist
you.
Bump. Let's fist bump. Bam. It's official right there.
Kill him.
He's going to be back. As long as you live in L.A. again. So don't move out.
To live and die in L.A.
you can move out outside of L.A. Because me personally, I think like eventually I'm going to move out of L.A. I'm right. probably going to live in like Malibu or some shit.
Right.
Like that would be pretty dope if I live in Malibu. Like
right.
that would be like I made it money. Like
that's bigger than Beverly Hills.
Pretty much, yeah. I would rather live in Malibu than Beverly Hills, though.
Right.
I would never like to live in Beverly Hills. I just met a lot of really bad people out there. Like that they're like, oh, I'm better than you type of people. Yeah. I hate those type of people. Oh my god.
Keep it positive energy.
That's why I'm going to Malibu where the beach is at. Anyways, guys, I'll see you next time on a brand new Steve Des Island podcast.
You've been listening to the Steve Des Island podcast. Be sure to visit stevedes.com for more information about this episode, as well as past and future episodes. Rate and review this episode on iTunes. Don't forget to follow Steve Des on Twitter at SteveDesTV and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SteveDesShow. See you next time.